Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for this show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Well, the people with the pickets, I say, to be with you by your side. And to tell you how I feel.
If we take a wise view of making mistakes in our life, we're more likely to recognize that we need God's strength instead of that lame willpower gumption cocktail. But we also realize the need for God's wisdom. And here is the second point where people get stuck. Let's consider one small element of wise, insightful, lifestyle-changing strategy. Let's say, accountability. Now, apply it to any situation that needs changing. Every time you feel like cheating on your diet or drinking again or skipping your workout, call your accountability buddy and ask for the chance to vent and talk about how hard it is and let them encourage you to keep going. Is this a magic fix? No. Does it change the odds of succeeding? You bet your backsliding butt it does. Big time. And that's just one element of strategy. There are dozens of smart ways of making changes. Finding the strategies that work for you and maybe even inventing a few that work for your specific situation is key. A good plan plus strength starts to get us somewhere. In fact, that's exactly what the Bible says. For waging war, you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. Deep down, I don't think most of us like the sound of that. I mean, yes, we like the sound of achievable, sustainable change in the things that are driving us crazy, and we all know, somewhere in our hearts, that we need guidance to hook that up. So why don't I go get it? Here's what I think. We don't want to be wise about dealing with a problem from now on. At least I don't. No, I simply don't want to have the problem anymore. People don't want to fight addiction one day at a time. They want to be above temptation. Not just because those desires mess us up, but because it feels like even wanting those wrong things casts a certain judgment on us and condemns us. I had a close friend of mine who spent 20 years addicted to crack. Over a long time and several backslides, he developed the humility and dependence on God that he needed, and he eventually succeeded in overcoming his addiction. But this same man once told me of going to help a friend and being in a place where he could smell that distinctive aroma of burning crack. In the middle of a conversation, he stopped talking, stood up, and literally sprinted out of the building. In what was for him a life or death moment, he did everything in his power to get away from that scent, feeling temptation clawing at him, even as the smell hit his brain. I've tried many times since to imagine what it must be like to be in a position where someone can wave a smell under your nose, and the next thing you know, you're seriously contemplating ruining everything in your life. That kind of vulnerability, that kind of Achilles heel, what must that be like? But aren't we all the same way? One commercial for a double bacon cheeseburger gets us ready to ruin our diet. The smell of beer wafting out of the bar as the ex-drunk goes walking by calls to him like a siren song. The sight of a sexy image reblogged in the Tumblr dashboard has a young person struggling with lust, barely able to hold on. We are all, every one of us, so amazingly vulnerable. And we just don't like admitting it. We don't want a strategy that will allow us to fight temptation every day. We want to not be open to attack. We want to think of our spirituality as something that renders us somewhat bulletproof to those old temptations. In a word, we want to be delivered. Make no mistake, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Every day we fight, every day we renew our commitments. Yes, we fall short in that, and those failures give us insights that improve our strategies. Thus, today's failures become the root of tomorrow's successes. Change isn't about erasing desires, it's about problem solving. Maybe it's just my upbringing, but I think it's about having an engineering mindset. My dad was an aerospace engineer who worked for the space program. And think about it. Engineering is problem solving. I'm on this side of the river, and I want to be on the other side of the river. So how do I solve that problem? Do I build a bridge? Do I design a boat? Perhaps a catapult? There's a funny thing about engineers. They get nervous when things don't go wrong, when nothing fails, because that generally means there's a hidden weakness in their design and they can't plan around it. No, engineers want a certain amount of failure. In fact, a design that has gone through multiple phases of planning, testing, failure, and revision is a plan that not only works, but works reliably. Its strengths are known, as are its weaknesses. And known weaknesses can be safeguarded against and improved upon. To many, the thought of engineering changes in our lives seems a bit too practical and not enough spiritual. But any change is about depending on God for strength and wisdom at every turn. A wise and practical strategy involves receiving strength, patience, insight, discernment, peace, and even joy. These are as much a part of good strategy as calling your accountability partner. Finally, when we talk about change, we tend to think of change as making better decisions. In truth, however, I think it's more likely to be about starting to make decisions. So much of our negative and unwanted behavior is a function of going along with our sinful nature and not really considering the alternative. It's a function of going along with the negative people around us and forgetting that we have a choice. Making changes is about finally choosing to go against that flow, to cut against that grain. This is why real, actual change can seem so overwhelming. It involves taking responsibility for ourselves in a way we rarely do. So much of our lives involves rolling and bouncing along in the stream of life with everyone around us. Here is a hard but necessary truth. Many of the positive achievements we have managed are little more than the bare minimum of the expectations placed on us, and really, little more than anyone else around us has achieved. But we don't think that way. We think, "I did it," and surely if we did that first great thing, we can do some other impressive thing, like making a hard change. But if a certain number of our accomplishments were fueled by our culture and environment, this attitude is likely to lead to a false sense of confidence in ourselves. Permanently changing your eating habits is challenging, but experts in the field will tell you that with the right strategy, it's achievable in a matter of months. Now compare that to getting a 4-year college degree. Just by the amount of time required, we can note that the degree is a much more difficult endeavor. And surely, if we've got a bachelor's, we can pull off making a change in how we eat. But when you were a college student, you lived in a dorm. Everyone you knew was a student working hard on their education. Everyone in society knew you were a student and made special accommodations for that. Most of your day, every day, was set up to allow you to devote yourself to the goal of receiving an education. Think about that for a second. Now, if everyone you knew and lived with was eating right and pursuing a healthy diet, then dieting would be a much simpler proposition. If every restaurant offered only healthy cuisine and sensible portions, you'd barely even need to think about it. But that isn't what we're up against. No, it's ordering the salad in a supersized fries world that makes change difficult. Really, really difficult. But if we're honest about the challenge before us, if we're humble about our tendency to slip and stumble, if we seek out wise strategy, we can make slow and steady progress towards making changes. And that, of course, is the nature of the kingdom of God, that change starts so small and moves so slowly that without the eyes of faith to see it, you couldn't tell it was there. But that as we learn to depend on God in a way we've never dreamt of before, He makes that seed of trust and dependence sprout and grow and produces change and transformation greater than anything we could have imagined possible.